And welcome back to the Over the Fence Show here on Raglan Community Radio and Free FM throughout the Waikato 189.0, Raglan Community Radio 98.1, of course. And in the studio we have Jasmine and Katie from the Whangaroa Environment Centre. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Craig. So good to be here.
Kia ora, Craig.
And you're just next door in the town hall.
Well, yeah, we are. And we didn't get a chance to do the morning show, our regular show with Aaron this month.
He's been a bit idle, hasn't he, these last couple of weeks?
He's gone to ground. What a slacker, eh?
Slacker. Yeah, I reckon.
I think he was only off for one day, guys.
How long has it been now, Katie, that you joined our team?
1 month.
1 month, yeah. So a month ago, Katie came on board and joined the Whangaroa Environment Centre as our with a new role that we created called the Admin and Funding Coordinator.
That's right.
Admin and Funding.
Yeah, it's great. So, Katie, we're doing basically, like I'm doing more hours now as well, so we're doing roughly the same amount of hours in the centre. It's really great, yeah.
Cool.
Restructuring. I've been, and I'm now the delivery coordinator.
Delivery coordinator, delivery is that delivering coordinator. The programs and things like
yeah.
that?
Or, yeah, yeah. Yeah, just making sure that we're delivering on our funding as well. Our right. funding that we've received and our projects are delivering to match our strategic plan and our goals and our vision and everything. Yeah, so yeah, it's great.
You make the magic happen.
I don't know. I don't make the magic happen.
Lots of people make the magic happen.
I just make sure the magic happens.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, also, we've got a whole committee behind us making sure that I make sure that the magic happens.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. Always good checks and double checks and what have you. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. How long has the Environment Centre been going for, roughly? Do you remember?
Oh, 20 years, maybe more. 1997 is when it was founded.
Okay.
Yeah. In response to the Whangaroa Environmental Management Plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's at its roots, right? Yeah.
We've got a beautiful chart, which I'm going to actually redo as a visual of the, you know, of how... So it's probably more than 20 years, actually.
25 years.
It's been a while.
25th anniversary party this year.
Yeah. And also the other thing is one change we decided to make this year was that it's always been a public hub, right, with opening hours, which have always been a struggle to maintain reliable opening hours. Before COVID, the pandemic started, we had got to a really good point of having reliable opening hours and good engagement with the public.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since then, so that was at the start of 2020, ever since then we really struggled between lockdowns to try and get that back. And it takes a really long time to gain the trust of the community again on and being open reliably.
So we looked at
the use of that space and how what the point of it was and how we could better use that space, and we decided to close it as a public hub, so we're not open to the public anymore apart from the tool library members, and we decided to turn it into a space where we would get more use out of it, which was we need us and different groups, like different organisations like Kari Oi Project or anyone, we all need something to work out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need somewhere to have meetings and we need somewhere to have little workshops. And so we've decided to turn it into that space. And it has given us more room in the centre as well.
Needs more room.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we're currently in the process of, well, Katie's in the process of trying to find money for us to build a mobile centre hub, which goes out to the community instead, because we think that will be a lot more effective.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, tell us about that. Well, firstly, tell us about yourself a little bit, Katie, since this is your first your premiere on air.
Well, I'm just trying to save the world, guys. Aren't we all?
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
So imagine a mobile hub maybe an electric bike with a beautiful, either like the trike front part or a pop-up back part. And in that hub, we can deliver seeds, tools, equipment, workshops. We can support the events we have, Maui Dolphin Day and Growers Market, as well as community gardens. And we can be wherever we need to be. Rather than being stuck in the office, we can be out in the community.
An electric-powered tuk-tuk.
Basically, yes. Yeah. Can you see it?
I can vision it in my brain, yes.
Yeah, it means that we'll just be able to actually go onto the street and connect directly with members of the community and the public and invite them to learn about all of our projects and all of the other conservation and environmental projects and sustainability.
And we learn more when we're out listening to people as well.
Yeah, so we'll be going to people instead of people coming to us. Yeah. And
sounds like a good formula, that one.
Oh, yeah. Look, I can just see it now where we have that little hub, mobile hub set up in town somewhere on one of the islands one day with the little Raglan community radio.
Yes.
You know, like you've done
cranking some tunes. Yep.
Be fun. Imagine that in the middle of summer on a hot summer day under one of the Phoenix trees.
That's going to be fantastic.
A little rebel.
What song?
Set up one
what
day.
Song? What would be our song?
We'll close the main street so no one can drive.
What would be our song?
What would be our song?
Yeah,
I've got a whole playlist of songs.
All right, DJ slot coming up. There,
love
we are.
This.
You can double hand it. One minute at the tuk-tuk, the other minute running back to change the tunes.
Love it.
You can do both things.
And I am going to be putting a song request in soon, Craig, at the after our interview. So
good. Yeah. Okay, I look forward to that. Give me some notice. So I've got time to tap it up into the thing anyways. But yes, good.
Cool.
I love requests. Yeah.
Something that we're still like the so the tool library, which I think most people are aware of it. Some people
maybe just explain it out for folks who might not be.
So a tool library is it's a collective it's a resource hub basically for collective use of tools, right? So not everyone can afford to buy all of the tools that they want or has space to store them or can afford to maintain them or has time to maintain them. There's all these things. So what we do is we have a collection of all of those tools and members, you can become a member and it means that you can use them whenever you like. And at the moment what we're doing is it's 3 months membership is $15.
Okay, that's super reasonable.
Yep, that membership gives you unlimited use of the tools and for a week at a time. So we've also just...
that's like pretty much a dollar a week for a big variety of tools. Great value.
It is. It's really good value. And so we've actually just added a few more because so Manu, who's been running the tool library for the past while, he organised with Adam at Raglan Outdoor Power to get a brand new, big, meaty, electric lawnmower that's cordless. And then we've also got a second weed whacker added to it, which is a bit more powerful, electric cordless weed whacker. So
very
they're
nice.
Much easier to use. Like, for example, I had a two-stroke weed eater once for my section and I could never start the thing. It was a pull cord one. So a lot of tools are designed for men, especially. And so if you, like, I could never get the thing going and it was really frustrating having to try and find a neighbour who could start it for me every time I wanted to use it.
It's a little disempowering, isn't it?
It's really disempowering, yeah. And it's, and I'm quite independent, you know. And so the fact that we've got electric weed whackers in there where you just start them by using a button, you know, that's a start. Then we've got, of course, a massive range of electric power tools for building, like circular saws, electric, you know, drills and then all the usual garden tools as well, like spades and shovels and we've got hammers and all of that. Big variety. But we've also got a sewing machine. We've got a brand new Weber barbecue, which we're breaking in on Sunday.
We are going to break it in.
Yeah.
Ooh, yep. What's the occasion?
Just a team get together.
Cool.
Yep. So we're going to break that barbecue in, and it comes with a stand, and it's
gas.
It's gas. Yep. And Weber's, I don't know if you've seen a Weber barbecue, but
I have,
they're
many.
Really pretty things, aren't they?
Yeah, they do look
yeah,
good.
So
cook a nice feed too, more
it's
importantly.
It's not the smallest size, it's the next one up. So it's portable enough, so anyone can, you can fit it in your car
put
easy enough.
Put it in the boot, whatever,
And also, they're really lovely barbecues.
So how many people on the team are you going to have around on Sunday?
Oh, you know, the team, our team includes the week whānau is like, we're talking about committee members,
contractors.
Staff, contractors, volunteers, like a big range of volunteers, And then we've
How many
got,
volunteers would you say at a guess?
Oh, it's quite hard to tell at the moment because we're just having...
What, 20? Which might turn up?
It'll probably be... to turn up, but on different projects. Like we've got, you think about Time Bank, you know, Time Bank has got the champions who all volunteer their time to help run Time Bank.
Yes.
Then there's the community gardens. That can fluctuate, you know.
And the Raglan Growers Market has pulled in lots of people.
So there's been volunteers working on the Raglan Growers Market. And in the past we've had... who are still, you know, hopefully, I hope to see them soon, but our centre hosts who have volunteered their time endlessly over the years on a weekly basis as well.
It was all Time Bank members who were delivering food, and that's people who were isolating, the last few weeks, with and probably still are, with people with COVID and that kind of thing, hey?
Yeah,
I didn't realise this till the other week. I didn't realise that Time Bank decided to, because they couldn't do what they normally did, they decided to serve the community. So when you would queue up in your car to go and get a RAT test and those initial... These were Time Bank tests.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that.
At the very start of the pandemic, the community got together and we held a emergency response, like came up with an emergency response plan, which, you know, as you know, Gabrielle and Lisa Thompson were spearheading that as well. And part of that was Time Bank got involved as a way to help, deliver groceries. And, because I had RAT tests delivered to me while I had COVID as well. That's very much in the vein of what Time Bank in Littleton, because they're incredible. We've actually had them up here before to give a presentation. During the earthquake, Time Bank, and that basically everything fell apart there.
Right.
All the services and everything. And Time Bank is what actually got the community working again. It was incredible. There's actually a documentary about it. Fascinating. So,
you guys have to play that on a movie night, you do one night or something.
Well, we've played it before,
Oh, you have? Okay,
but I mean, we've got lots of things in the pipeline at the
moment. Oh, there's movie nights.
There's so many things. We're going to be holding some free soup. Can you remember, I don't know if you were around then, but there was quite a few years ago, Lisa used to organise the free soup nights over winter, So we're going to be holding a few of those.
Great idea.
Yeah, we're going to be holding cooking classes. We're going to be...
I'm looking forward to a curry cooking class.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah.
Documentary?
Yep. We've got three documentaries lined up, or four maybe now, I think, over winter as well.
So you're going to play them at the old school, or...?
We're still working at organising that. Yeah, but that's the idea. In the past, when we've had documentary nights, we've run them at the old school.
Great.
Yeah.
A lot happening.
Are we allowed to talk about science nights yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is all part of things we're planning. So, and we've still got Maui Dolphin Week to kick off as well, but we've got...
When's that happening?
Hopefully this month.
This month, okay.
With all of the lockdowns and everything.
This month will be like May.
It's
not April.
So we couldn't hold Maui Dolphin Day, and now it's too late for the traditional Maui Dolphin Day because we're heading into winter. But also under red, we were so limited that we didn't really want to use the funding we got from the board to do something, you know, not give it justice. So the whole point is we want to try and reach as many people as we can. But that's should be happening hopefully this month.
Exciting.
Sorry?
It's exciting.
Yeah.
And it won't be the usual kind of thing. Well, I don't even know what the rules are. I mean, following them as far as, you know, usually over at Papahua and everyone just wanders around. And
I think we'd be able to hold Maui Dolphin Day under orange, but we've only just turned to orange and now it's getting too cold.
Gotcha.
So there's just be a series of mini events over the course of a week, basically.
All right.
That all relate to Maui Dolphin Day. Yeah.
Cool.
But then, so Katie has managed to secure a little bit of funding for us to start holding more regular science nights as well.
Congratulations, yeah, Katie.
She's doing a great job at securing funding. It's a massive job. It's quite, you have to be really immersed in the funding world.
Yeah, I know it takes a lot of Aaron's time, trying to suss out funds, keep the station going.
So the idea is to we've held quite a few science nights in the past, but they've been marine focused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so now we want to move into broader topics, basically.
Well, eco,
Enviro.
Yeah.
Science. Man, I mean, you could go anywhere with it, right?
Even have
things on like glyphosate or, you know, agrochemicals or whatever, really, couldn't you?
Mm. Yeah. Jasmine's got probably a schedule for about 5 years, I reckon.
Yeah. I've got a raft of things. Yeah, there's crazy things. Like, I've got a friend who's a marine biologist who lives down south, and she's spent lots of time working in Antarctica and stuff, but she does the most amazing presentation on the Kraken.
Not the
Kraken.
The Kraken.
There actually is a Kraken.
An octopus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just an octopus.
And she dresses up as a Kraken. She's got the most incredible Kraken costume.
Right.
Like with tentacles and the headpiece, the works.
Yeah.
And she's Austrian. So, and she's very, very flamboyant.
Yes.
And it is a fascinating, entertaining, hilarious presentation with a projection of a proper presentation that's very scientifically, you know.
Sound.
And, well, she is a marine science scientist. And, yeah, it's just incredible. It's
entertaining so and informative.
It's riveting. It's riveting.
Does she know that we want her to come up?
Oh, yeah. Well, I tried to. Well, I'd already started arranging it, but just before the pandemic. So now this is it, trying to get her up here to give this presentation at a science night.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
imagine
cool.
sitting there with your dinner
and
your drinks and having this incredible, fabulous marine biologist wearing a Kraken costume.
So excited.
Educating you about the Kraken. Yeah, about octopus, you know.
That does sound entertaining.
Oh,
yes.
What a great night at the pub.
Yeah, it would be a great night at the pub. Yeah.
And that's the plan.
A unique thing. Yeah. Oh, the pub. Going to be a pub thing? Okay, yep.
Yep, and it also means, like, you know, groups like the Karigoi Project will be able to present their, you know, anything that, like, you know, I think there's things like the long-tailed bat, you know, their data. It's going to be fun.
All right.
Yeah. I think we're aiming for about 10 a year or something.
10 a year. Mostly over winter, you're thinking, or for the science nights? No, just whenever.
It's just that there's no point in holding them in January and December.
Nah. Yeah, sort of one a month in between
basically,
times, yeah.
Yep.
Great. Mm. A lot happening.
There is a lot happening.
Yeah, there is.
Because we're trying to save the world.
One Kraken at a time.
I was actually telling Katie, over the past week, I've been getting a lot of climate anxiety.
Right.
And it's an actual thing.
It is.
It's and a Craig, real thing
Craig,
that's been.
People know about this.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he's interested in that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's climate anxiety because of the weather, obviously. Or
No, just the fact that we've basically stripped the planet of all its resources.
Yeah, we're getting there.
It's warming. Did you notice how hot it was over summer?
Yes,
but
yes.
On the 17th of April, which was last week, New Zealand used up its. If you look at the amount of natural resources we require for a year to survive, regenerative resources. We used up ours for the year for 2022. We used them up last week.
Okay.
They're gone. We are now living in credit. So basically, all of our resources that we're using at the moment,
yep,
we are clocking them up. And
against the future.
Yep. And the penalty, as Dr. Mike Joy put it really, like in really frank terms, was basically the penalty for this, for not paying back the credit, is much more severe than a debit company, right? Because we're talking about more floods, more fires, you know, more, droughts, you know. Like there was a period this summer where I think we had to cancel one growers market because there hadn't been enough rain.
Yeah. So I do remember that. Yeah.
So
the weather has been marvellously mild this week, don't you think?
Oh, it's been
unseasonably dry for autumn, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Autumn is the perfect season of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love it too.
I had a week of, you know, getting quite a bit of climate anxiety and it waking me up during the night because I've got a daughter who just turned 11. And I think, oh my God, what is the world, what is her life going to be like in 30, 40 years? What is it going to look like? It's not going to be nice.
Well, yeah, what's still going to be around and alive, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's always hope, though. I mean, things are changing. I know.
Well, there is.
Like, you know, there's like just read out today in the headlines that New Zealand apple and pears are trying to go spray free within the next sort of 7 years. They want to do that. And I think that for me is where kind of agriculture
is
kind of
that
going.
Is
yeah,
amazing.
Because
that's
like
a good piece of gossip. Yeah. I like it.
Organic plant regenerative farming is a massive part of trying to make sure that we don't actually destroy the planet.
Yeah, it's a big part of the solution for sure.
Huge part of the solution. Yeah,
And yeah, because agriculture cops a lot of blame, and you know it's hard on farmers. I know everyone's like. It's like slag off a farmer. That's what people do, right? But it's actually, yeah, it's not very good for farmers' mental health, right? But there's a lot of it, and it comes from a lot of directions. So, yeah.
We need to be changing.
People just need to be kind of be careful about, you know. But, yes, you know, there's a lot of practices that I certainly think could be improved in farming, for
Regenerative
sure.
Regenerative farming is
but it is coming that way, you know.
Yep.
And it's a generational thing too, I think, you know, especially like people, I guess, my age and younger are starting to think way more like that. So the change is happening now. It's just... Hopefully it's fast enough, you know.
There is
movement that way, yeah.
Mm.
But yes, it is. Could be worrying. I can see exactly where you're coming from with that one. Yeah. All right.
Nice one.
Cool. Anything else you want to add or say?
I think
the tool library
for now until next time.
So tool library, people can come and find us at the tool library, in the town hall, all day Wednesdays. That's the plan.
All day Wednesdays.
Wednesday 9 to 5. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to just decide they want to borrow a tool, come into town, be distracted by 10 people having conversations on the street and still being able to make our opening hours.
Right on.
That's real random, isn't it?
Yeah. And Katie and I will or either both of us or one of us will be there between 9 and 5 every Wednesday. So it means, yeah, just turn up if you want to join.
Yep. Have a chat about WEC, have a look at some
tools.
And also, what we haven't mentioned is the Aroha stand sitting right out there in the entranceway to the town hall.
Oh, yeah.
We need so to tell us about this one.
Soil, yeah. Well, we just, so we've got an amazing team of seed savers because we've always had a seed bank at WEC. We've got that nice cool vault to store the seeds in. But we have this amazing group of seed savers in Whangaroa who they harvest their seeds every season and collect them all up, and they get together and they have every quarter there's what's called a Seedy Sunday where they, you know, get all their seeds together and then they have seed swaps and all types of stuff. But there's so many seeds. So they've packaged them all up. We've got bowls of them and we've just got this... this little stand out the front where you can get a seed tray, fill it up with a bit of seed mix and grab your seeds and you're away.
For nothing?
It's all for free.
Yep.
Mm.
And yes, yeah, I mean, that's you know, one of the, it's a great thing. You know, all you've got to do is turn up, pick up your seeds, water them and away you go.
Growing food as much as possible. And if this is what it takes... This is what it takes.
yet another great initiative from the Whangarei Environment Centre. You guys do a great job.
Yeah, thank you.
You too. You keep us entertained.
Thanks for coming on here. Jasmine, thank you, Katie.
Thank you for having us.
And I look forward to the Whangarei Environment Centre radio show that you guys are in the pipeline as well, possibly, coming up.
Just give us a week.
All right. Thanks very much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye.